Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's the list in your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire! Boom shakalaka!
200 strong!
And we're live.
What's up, you guys? July 14th, listen, your boy, 221. What's that smirk about, Jimmy?
Oh, nothing, just Camilo.
Oh, go okay. Ahead. I mean, what do you got going on? What's up? Sean Ross Sapp here. This is Jimmy Van. So,
how you doing, Sean Ross Sapp?
I'm doing pretty good. How are
What's
you
your
doing?
Shirt say? Suplex what? Oh, okay.
It says
okay.
Suplex
okay.
Repeat.
I thought I saw the other day you had a Catch as Catch Can t-shirt.
Yeah, I designed that shirt, actually.
Did you? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh.
Yeah, I do that. Sometimes people design shirts and they aren't terrible, but I mean, hey, we don't know anything about that here.
Oh, don't get me started.
Fightful.
That might be another Twitch exclusive. That might be another Twitch exclusive. We'll see.
Well, guys, it's listening, your boy. I'm heading to Nashville tomorrow. I'll be at Slammiversary Saturday, but I'm here right now. You guys can leave a thumbs up. You can subscribe. You can tap the bell for notifications, and you can donate a super chat like Xantheus just did, and you'll have your question or statement read on the air. He says, was Greg Hardy being dropped like a sack of crap not the feel-good story of this weekend? I think he woke up in time to see the dude chug a beer out of his shoe. That was a superstar moment for Tai Tuivasa, who came into the UFC, won three straight fights, lost three straight, and has now won three straight again. And it feels like he's putting it all together. He got clipped and then immediately said, eh-eh, and put the lights out on Greg Hardy. We've seen Greg Hardy beaten. We haven't seen him beaten quite like that.
I looked at that and I said, I got to see him and Steve Austin smash beers. I posted that on Twitter. I want to see him and Stone Cold Steve Austin smash beers. That guy, you know, we've talked about how there's a lot of fighters in the UFC and in MMA for that matter. Yeah. They've got the ability in the cage, but they don't have the charisma and the personality. Yes. And say what you want about Conor McGregor, and Conor McGregor was actually first on my list today, but say what you want about him. The guy has been a massive success because of the personality and the charisma. And obviously sometimes he crosses the line, and with Poirier, he might have. But you need that to get to that next level, and he's got that. Now, I don't know if I'd be wanting to walk down the aisle drinking beer out of some stranger's shoe. See the yes. one guy pour the hot sauce in it?
Yes, I did. I was talking to that about my IRL best friend yesterday. It's like, man, no female that has ever been to a bar would fall for that one. Like they're used to watching their drinks. Yes. But old homeboy was just like, who cares? Then he drank hot sauce.
And you never know what people could be doing. Because people can be dicks. They might be spitting in it. You never know.
Quite literally, like I mentioned, there could have been drugs in there.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
You never know. Anakin asks if you watched the BPW media call, the Booty Pro Wrestling media call.
I did not. So Sean hit me up yesterday and said, I think he sent me the link and he said, this is the stupidest and also one of the funniest things we've ever done. Yes. I haven't had time. So I haven't.
It is worth it to at least have it on in the background of anything you're doing. If you have listened to
even a couple of media calls in the past, this was cathartic to participate in.
Is that right?
Because you'll always have those people. Why didn't you ask about just Velveteen Dream and nothing about Velveteen, nothing but that until he answered? You'll always get that. And then you'll always get people say, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh, that, is that a common thing that you hear?
Oh,
on these
my
calls?
Gosh.
Really?
Can you hear me? Hey, can you hear me? And then of course Jeremy said, yeah, unmute your mic. But like them being asked about how they handle COVID protocols and Jeremy saying, well, we protect our fans and our wrestlers by simply not testing them was fantastic. It is worth you all going out of your way to see, even if you have not watched a moment of Booty Pro Wrestling. I really think it's one of the best things that have ever happened on Fightful. Twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming. It's a good time.
What
get in
it?
Those
is
super
it, is
chats.
Is it fantasy wrestling? Is that what it is?
Pretty much. They book their own territory on TEW. And even Frank Aguilera is putting it over, says it was the best content I've ever seen. It was legitimately some of the best content we have ever had on Fightful. There were like 15 members of the actual media that showed up.
That's interesting.
John Alba of Spectrum Sports, Riccicino of ESPN showed up, or formerly of ESPN, I think, showed up and asked questions. Unbelievable.
Well, I wanted to ask you what you thought of McGregor and what you think his future looks like.
He'll come back. He'll sell over 1 million pay-per-views. That's how it is. When going into this fight, I was like, you know what? I would like for him to win for the clickety clacks, for the traffic and the attention. No, man, his behavior in general, I didn't like. That's stupid. Like the stuff that he's done in the past is stupid. Mm. When you're saying, I'm going to get you in your sleep, you and your wife, when you're bringing somebody's family into it, when they don't want their family brought into it at all, that's scumbag stuff. And he's been a scumbag for a long, long time. I never want to see this guy win another fight in his life ever, ever, ever again. Never. I'm hearing heavy static coming from your end.
Are you?
Yep.
Camilo, can you work on that somehow?
Yep, and it's definitely from your side, because when I mute your mic, it goes away.
I just show up. I just show up and do what I'm told.
Yeah.
So Camilo's going to have to try to fix it. Well, let me try to talk over it while he...
give me a topic to talk about. And
well, I want to talk about McGregor a little bit more. So going into the fight, I have a lot of respect for what he's accomplished. And I get everything that you're saying. I have a lot of respect for what he's accomplished. I wish there were more people in MMA that understood that aspect of the game, because he totally gets that aspect of the game. I thought going in he was going to lose. I know you and I talked about it.
Your mic is super muffled now, so I'll talk about it a little bit more while I think you all should probably just disconnect and reconnect. But, I mean, Conor McGregor went into this fight. I didn't want to do all that, but there we are. Conor McGregor went into this fight. And he has made it oddly personal for a very, very, very long time. And it's so weird to see him do that, thinking that that's what's going to get people to tune in. At this point, just like he's the draw. I mean, it might draw a couple more people in, but Jesus, man, this was very, very weird. And Dustin Poirier, to me, has been the example of professionalism. And you don't always have to be professional in fighting. Nope, still there. Still there. Yes, really. Still there. And he Camilo. Doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Why are we turning on the mic so you can yell at Camilo? This is terrible podcasting.
I have touched nothing. I'm literally just sitting in my seat.
I know. Yeah, we don't need to do that. But we've got Throwback saying at work, listening under a car right now with fans happening this week. Could mass outbreaks happen, or will there be stricter protocols to prevent it? No, there won't be very stricter protocols at all. I do think that there could be some outbreaks and stuff like that, but I don't know if it'll be tied necessarily to pro wrestling. It could be. We could see that. But what about now? Say something, Jimmy. No mic whatsoever. The mic is completely gone. I just want to see Jimmy's reaction. You all are going to watch this unfold. I don't think the outbreaks are necessarily going to be tied to pro wrestling, because we've had sporting events for a long time now. And I mean, I can't pretend I've been paying attention to the COVID stats of late outside of over 99% of the people that have died over the last, I think it was last month, have been unvaccinated. So, I mean, if you're vaccinated, you should be pretty well covered there. But I'm just excited to see fans back. I'm going to be watching from Tennessee on Friday. I'll be back for the Money in the Bank show on Sunday. And then Monday, we get the first Raw with fans. And we've reported some pretty big news in relation to that. Jimmy.
Is it any better?
It's much better. It is so much better now. Yeah. It is fixed.
We got to take a match to that other mic, I guess. Well, the one thing I wanted to ask you about McGregor. So it came out afterwards, John Kavanaugh, one of the guys close to him, said that he injured the leg in training. And Poirier,
I'm sure he did.
Poirier, after the fight, said he's pretty sure that when he checked a kick, it fractured it. Because he said, I felt like, something happened. I'm curious why.
It's back. Here really? And there. Yep. Every time you talk.
So it's not the mic. It's something else connected to the mic. It's not the mic itself.
My God. Unreal.
Yeah. I mean, I can just kind
of
sit here.
Hey, maybe drag your cable off the top of that. Man, this is good television
here. Great content. And this is not the first time this has happened.
Great content. So what's your question? Cue me up. Cue me up at least, and I'll mute you.
My question is, do you know what kind of deal he had with the UFC? Because if he got injured in training, why didn't he just delay?
Can't hear you at all. Do I know what kind of deal he had with the UFC? I know he had a flat fee plus pay-per-view revenue. It's just Conor McGregor is going to make an insane amount of money. He's going to make the amount of money that most top stars should already be making in the UFC. It's just that number is pretty well reserved for just Conor McGregor at this point, which is mind-boggling. Jimmy, give me a nod up and down. Did you see Ariel Helwani shooting on Dana White? Oh, my God. I mean, we've been talking MMA here the whole time, but I can tell you guys, as a wrestling reporter, I've never experienced the type of stuff that Ariel Helwani has. Like, everything from the toxic fan base to the way that that particular guy runs the company, Dana White, I've never experienced anything remotely like that in wrestling. I've had some people that maybe didn't like me, but Ariel Helwani worked for ESPN, which broadcasts UFC, and Dana White would demand that he was escorted away from his line of sight anytime he was coming into an area. It is mind-boggling. You all should definitely check that out. That toxicity is a reason why I don't want to cover MMA full-time anymore. I'll cover the big fights and all that. Thank you to the 40,000 people who showed up for the McGregor watch along. But man, it is toxic. Wrestling, even though there's a few gobshites in there, it's so much better. New Punk Rant says, AEW with fans in a new location brings me back to watching WCW in 1996. Static is still there. Dark and Elevation both seem to have direction. I love that company so much. I know there are a lot of people that watch Dark and Elevation and they're like, oh, well, what do these matches matter? What do these matches matter? Well, because they have established a track record of, if you win 4, 5, 6, even 10 matches on Dark Elevation in a row, you're in line for a title shot. It's established. Just because they don't do that on other companies doesn't mean that that's not the way that AEW does their business. So I think that Dark and Elevation, if you want to kill some time, if you want to watch some people get destroyed, that's a great way to do it. There's some good competitive matches as well. We saw Danny Limelight make a big name over there on Dark. And he signed with MLW now. They're reforming LAX over there. So I think there's a lot of good that Dark and Elevation do. Let's see if Jimmy's back. Oh, I can't unmute my guests because they chose to mute themselves. Dang, that's still there. Still there. Should just unhook the entire thing. I'm even considering restarting the entire PC at this point. Throwback 27 says, could there be an NXT House Mystique with crowds again? I don't know what you mean by that. I'm not really sure what you mean by NXT House Mystique. NXT is not, they're doing the same thing. NXT is still doing the Performance Center and all that. You know what? I'm going to give you guys a good frame for Fightful's 5th birthday. There we go. How about that? Look at that. Look, we're celebrating today. So I guess you all can just send super chats in until Jimmy fix up his stuff. Stellar Justin Lopez says, I find it weird they would send Mandy back to NXT after she was someone they fast-tracked to the main roster years ago. Well, I mean, everybody expected Vince McMahon to just take to her and be like, oh my God, oh my God. There's this odd perception, like Vince McMahon loves his blondes. Bayley's not a blonde. Becky Lynch isn't a blonde. Sasha Banks isn't a blonde. Bianca Belair isn't a blonde. It's just something that people have really hung on to. Mandy Rose never got that big, massive push. But I think that her working NXT, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, she is an established name on the main roster. She's probably getting paid a bunch of money, too. I can't remember when she signed her contract. I feel like it was 2019 when she signed her contract. And a lot of those contracts were for big money. Yeah, she signed a new deal in, I don't know, January 2020 she signed it. And those were pretty big money deals at the time, from what I understand. So I'm not surprised that they want to maximize that. All I can say is I think it's very funny that not only was defeating the tag team champions not worth it to Mandy and Dana, apparently just being on Raw wasn't worth it to Mandy Rose's character. But I'm not surprised by it. They should add some more established talent that probably aren't going to get their run on NXT. I'm completely fine with that. J.K. Schwal takes us back to MMA and says, thoughts on Moutinho being a human punching bag. And that dude was tough. I don't really have a problem with the finish there in that fight because he needed to be protected. He was getting peppered all throughout that fight, and it got really dangerous. I do understand those people that are like, you know what? This lasted, or this had like 20, 30 seconds left in it, and it didn't end up why not give him the chance to fight back? But yeah. Oh, by the way, guys who are offering tech advice in the chat, I promise you the guy that we have working on it with Jimmy Van probably knows more than you guys. I guarantee you it's literally his job. So they're figuring it out. But we do appreciate the insight. Get in some super chats. And I'm basically doing a Q&A and talking with you guys right now. Ken Shiro says, what's the deal with Big Utes and AEW? That's Wheeler Yuta. Well, he's doing Dynamite, which is big. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. But also, he had done a WWE tryout recently. He's done ROH. He's done New Japan. He's done all that stuff. We got Jimmy Van back. Let's see. Hey, Jimmy.
I don't even want to talk, Sean.
Oh, it sounds wonderful.
Really?
Yeah, it's back.
You know what's ironic? I just saw A Quiet Place Part 2 last night, and now I'm in the movie, Sean.
You are.
Get it?
You
now. Are.
But yeah. Wheeler Yuta is there. It's the Wheeler Yuta sweepstakes right now. I mean, he is sought out by everybody. Aaron says, to the broom. I don't know what that means, my friends. And Josh Cardenas says, Mandy Rose for Aaliyah seems like a bad trade. It ain't real, my friends. It's just like a trade, so to speak. Trade. But Aaliyah, it's time to shit or get off the pot with Aaliyah. She was on Breaking Ground 6 years ago. So yeah, it was time to do that. Anakin says, what's your most anticipated match tonight? I gotta look at the card. I barely look
coffin
at the
coffin match or
the coffin
Moxley
match.
Anderson.
Coffin match for sure.
I hope Darby Allin doesn't kill himself.
Yeah. Just like Kevin says, any insight on the card for Fighter Night 2? Again, I look at the card a week before it happens because as we saw with Darby and Ethan, it can change. So I don't really. I mean, AEW always goes all out on this. Zeke says, who should win out of Darby and Ethan? Mox and Machine Gun. Mox should win and Darby. And I think Ethan should win. I think Ethan really? Page should. Yeah, I think he should kill Darby Allin.
Needs the momentum.
Yes.
I heard something about, I think it was last week's show when the Dynamite taping ended and people were getting up to leave and Tony Khan came out and said, Darby Allin's going to be, you know, part yes. of the dark taping. And everybody came back and sat down. That kid is a star, man. And he had Sting with him, of course, but
he sure is.
That kid's a star. He is.
I mean, you're going to see a whole bunch of turds on Twitter say, what stars does AEW make? They're only drawing 800,000. Well, let me tell you, those live events are selling pretty well right now.
Yes,
and
I
that's
agree.
On the back of the booking in which they've done. They're selling out, and I mean, they're not doing 7, 8, 9,000 places, but or 7, 8, 9,000 seats, but they're doing it.
No, but they're going to do 20 for Arthur Ashe.
Oh boy.
Static it's again?
Coming back. What the heck?
I don't know. I'm back.
And now the, yeah, it's completely off. Oh boy. So here I am. I guess I'm just going to go through Jimmy Van's list. Let's go. Let's see what he's got on the list. Money in the Bank. I'm interviewing Natalia for that. It goes up tomorrow. You all should check it out. It looked like some of your list was blurred out. That was pretty funny.
Well, it's because of the camera, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I love more is my audio being blurred out by the static. But Money in the Bank, good card this Sunday. I'm just going to mute you again because I don't know why. Yeah, let me mute you, not you. This is going to be great for our audio listeners. Let me okay, I'm just going to mute you again because I just did that. But Men's Money in the Bank is what I'm most excited for. Riddle, Ricochet, John Morrison, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kevin Owens, Nakamura, Seth Rollins. From a work rate standpoint, like I look at this and I'm like, holy crap, man. Like this is one of the most loaded working Money in the Bank matches that I've ever seen. Like it is so dope. Roman Reigns and Edge, Lashley and Kingston, not a lot of doubt in my mind there. AJ and Omos against Viking Raiders, not a lot of doubt in my mind there. The big doubt in my mind is Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Will it be Sonya? Will it be Becky? Will it be somebody else? How's that going to work out? I had people telling me recently that Sonya or WWE's pushing for Sonya to have an in-ring return. We'll see how that goes. But Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, you know, I'm interested in seeing how that goes as well. Because I think they should do Rhea and Becky at SummerSlam instead of Charlotte and Becky at SummerSlam because we've seen Charlotte and Becky. We know it can be a great match, though. So I guess we'll see. But Money in the Bank will be here with Denise, myself and Denise on Sunday. Just it's even worse than it's ever been before. That static. Ray Callahan sends a super chat. Go ahead and get these in, guys, because that's what this show has turned into, a Q&A show. Ricky Shane Page on Dark. Any chance he 440 Cougar end up in AEW? Based on the way that commentary like sort of sandbagged him, that was surprising to me. I don't think we will, but I think he's good enough to. He is such a great dastardly heel. I'm glad that he got the opportunity as well because he deserves it. Ricky Shane Page is one of the best heels in the world right now. Andrew Monaghan says, will crowds affect WWE's laziness and repetition? No, I don't think they will. I don't think it will affect really much of anything, but I think it will to a very small degree, like a slight degree. But I think they're going to go back to all you people promos. We got one over the past 15 months. It was Carmella. She cut an all you people promo when there were no people, which was mind-boggling if they wrote that. But I think it will lead to another set of laziness and repetition.
That camera.
Still static. Kieran George says, with fans being back, do you see Matt Hardy bringing back his broken gimmick or has it run its course? He said that he's not. He said that right now he's doing the Hardy Family Office thing, that the broken thing did not work last year. So, and he's not one to try to run things into the ground. He's got enough gimmick ideas to where if he needs to pivot, he can pivot. And he did in this situation. So I'm glad that he did as well. Throwback says, do you see Liv winning Sunday? Does she cash in? No, I don't. And no, I don't think so. I would love to see her win. She's fantastic. But I don't think she's going to win Money in the Bank. I think it's going to go to somebody else. But I think that she is more than deserving. I think she's a great talent and would be fantastic with Money in the Bank if they booked her, the right way. Zeke Jackson says, do you think Impact and AEW's women's division should actually have matches together or some sort of tournament? Yes. I saw somebody saying or responding about the Britt Baker, Deonna Purrazzo potential matchup and saying, oh, well, there's no finish that can protect everybody. Who needs it? Why is it like that to where we got to say, oh, well, somebody's got to be protected. Why can't one of the best women's performers in the world face another one of the best women's performers in the world, flip a coin for all I care backstage, and then say, heads you win, tails you win, do a clean finish. You win them in the ring, you lose them in the ring because two great performers face each other and one wins and one loses. I think that's fine, and they could do that. Nope. Phil Felice says, Kevin said he was taking time off. Now he's in Money in the Bank. Do you think he's winning? No, I do not. I think Big E is winning. I think that Big E is has set the stage. He's become the favorite. He's doing all the right things, and so are Raw to set this up. They're doing at least most of the right things to set this up. I don't think that Bobby Lashley needed to lose on Monday, and I had people saying, oh, well, how else do you get there? How else do you get there? Well, MVP lost a match last week with Bobby Lashley in it. Bobby Lashley could have been mad about that. Thank you all for keeping the super chats rolling. J.K. Schwall says Disco Jimmy is better than Static Jimmy. At least we get to hear Disco Jimmy, for the love of God. Almanac says, when will Mr. Van enforce swords, credits, and titles for all the wrestling news channels, making Cultaholic What Culture and include, as reported by Fightful, in all titles? I don't know. I wish he would. That'd be cool. Or just pay us, guys. Cultaholic, Wrestle Talk. What Culture? Pay us. Give us that money. Give us a percentage. I'm ready to make that money. I'll be on Wrestle Talk this Sunday, by the way. Anakin says, Slammiversary will be my first Impact show. What are you looking forward to for that? The Deonna Purrazzo match, because I know who she's facing. And the X Division match is the most excited I've been for an X Division match in probably about a decade. Throwback says, will Purrazzo versus Baker happen at All Out? Who wins? No, I think AEW has about three competitors lined up for her. Chris Statlander's one of them. Thunder Rosa is another one of them. So I don't think that will be happening. Bill Hemmett says, is Jeff Cobb coming back to AEW? Nah, I haven't heard any plans of that at all. Jimmy, how are you doing?
I don't know.
I don't hear the static right now. So, well, let's say, do you think I'm winning the Jam in the Jar match?
What the hell is the Jam in the Jar match?
Sure, but I'm booked for it on Wrestle Talk. And Mike Straw Media says, do you think WWE does anything if they go on the road and fans start to hijack the show? No, I think they're probably going to have pretty well-prepared talent for that.
I'd like to hope so. I don't know. I don't know how realistic Vince McMahon is with reality. You know, Alexa Bliss is a babyface. Jackson Riker's a babyface.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens.
Let's get back to your list before your shit craps out.
Yeah.
Let's move past MMA. Leave us a thumbs up, by the way, guys.
Well, I was gonna talk about Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Yes, please do.
And I know we've lost half the show, but I'm going to talk about Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. So he passed away July 12th at the age of 71. He would have been 72 in October. And I saw some things with like Alex Bolosky on Sour Graps. Everybody knows the Hogan Orndorff story, but a lot of people don't know anything else about Paul Orndorff. And so that's why I kind of wanted to talk about him. I became a fan of wrestling around WrestleMania 1 in 1985. And at that time, the very first WrestleMania, Orndorff was part of the main event. A lot of people still remember Mr. T and Hogan, but the other side of that was Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. Then from 85 to about 87, he was one of the top guys in the company because he did the babyface turn at Mania 1. They teamed him with Hogan. He had the program with Piper. Led into 86 when he did the great turn on Hulk Hogan that if you haven't seen it, look on YouTube. Paul Orndorff, Hulk Hogan against Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy. Great heel turn. That pile driver, Sean, one of the best of all time. And probably the best of its era. It was a devastating looking pile driver. So he had a great one run with Hogan in 86. Back in May, I think it was, his son Travis posted a video on YouTube, and I showed the video to Sean at the time. I think his son probably reconsidered having it up because he deleted it afterwards, but of course other people copied it.
Yeah.
And so it's still on YouTube. He posted a video showing the state of his dad. And at that time, quite honestly, it was heartbreaking to watch. He had severe dementia. He looked years older than his real age and was really struggling. And so this news, unfortunately, is not unexpected, I guess, given what we saw in that video. But Paul Orndorff, man, you want to talk about an intense performer, an aggressive performer. You believed he was a badass. And I'll tell you a story in a minute to show you that he really was a badass. But you believe that he was a badass. And that run with Hogan, something a lot of people might not know, during 86 time when he had that run with Hogan, of course, they did the big event in Toronto in front of 60,000 people. They did the cage match on Saturday night's main event where they both hit the floor at the same time. around that time, he suffered nerve damage, I believe, in his neck. And because he was on such a hot run and it was so lucrative, you know, being on top of Hogan. Is it? Seriously?
Yep. So I'm going to share with you my favorite Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff moment. And it was at the Hall of Fame, wherever Hogan and Mr. Wonderful got inducted. And Mr. Wonderful was not fond of Hulk Hogan after all those years. And Hulk Hogan sticks his hand out to shake Mr. Wonderful's hand. And Mr. Wonderful just looks up at him and is like, no. That's one of my favorite moments.
The floor, is it?
Also, we got a super chat from Ray Callahan that says, does Jimmy blame the Canadian government for the tech issue? I certainly do. Jimmy, do you want to give a static-filled response to that?
Is my audio still live?
Yeah, I've got it unmuted right now for okay, you to respond with your right static.
Right now, I blame the Canadian
government. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Government for everything. I blame the Canadian government for Thunderdome right now.
Okay, well, I've muted Jimmy again. While they absolutely probably aren't able to fix that, seems like it's too far gone. I think they're going to throw the computer out the window. But we do have some super chats. Young Drizzy says, I'm a huge fan of Mandy coming back to NXT and Aaliyah being on the main roster. Do you think they have plans for either woman? I think they have plans for Mandy. I don't think they have real plans for Aaliyah. I think for Aaliyah, it was time. They had to see what they can get. She looks great right now. She's very clearly put the work in physically. And Mandy, just somebody, like they used to do this all the time, like Titus and Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, who were not significantly pushed on the main roster, would come to NXT and they would make a big impact there. I think that's what they're doing with Mandy. And I think NXT probably does have a plan in order. Ah, man. New Punk Rant says AEW with fans in new locations has me back to watching WCW in 96. Dark and Elevation both seem to have direction. I love that company so much. Oh, we answered that. But yeah, it does kind of bring me back to WCW a little bit and like the WCW Saturday nights and the main events and WCW Pro and all that stuff where you could see stuff on those shows actually matter. Still staticky. So you know what? I'm not even going to do a segue. This show is brought to you by MagicSpoon.com. Use that code FIGHTFUL. What does Magic Spoon do? Besides giving you healthy cereal, it also helps you kill time when your podcast host has faulty equipment. Got to head all the way over here and do this read now. So if you're trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, unhealthy food, and realize you can't eat anything anymore. You've been drinking protein shakes and you want to find a more delicious way or a different way to get your protein in before or after workouts. Check out magicspoon.com. 0 grams of sugar, 13, 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, and only 140 calories per serving. Couple that with the fact that this stuff fills you up. You're not going back and forth getting more cereal and more cereal. It's so much healthier for you. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. They have a variety pack of cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. I love to get that cocoa and peanut butter and mix it together. They have a ton of flavors. And you can also build your own custom box, including those 4 flavors I mentioned, plus blueberry or cinnamon. I love the cinnamon. I'm about to tear into the blueberry for the first time. My wife has been eating those every time they come here. But you can go to magicspoon.com, grab a variety pack, try it today. Use our promo code FIGHTFUL at checkout. Save $5 on your order. And they're so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Use that promo code FIGHTFUL. I mean, I know that some of you might look at that and you might go, oh, you know what? It's different kind of cereal than what I'm used to. The cost might be different. The amount might be different. 100% happiness guarantee at magicspoon.com. When you use that code, FIGHTFUL. Nope. Still static. This is wonderful.
All right.
I couldn't hear you, Jimmy.
Oh, you can't hear me even.
Okay. Yeah. So what we're going to do is you're going to try it one more time. And otherwise, I'm going to do a solo show for the rest of the show is what we're going to do because I'm a professional, Jimmy. That's what I'm here to do. Stellar Justin Lopez says, knew Mr. Wonderful mostly from his WCW run in 93 to 96. Loved his matches with Steamboat and Cactus Jack. Don't call me Paula. That's actually where I knew about him the most too, because I grew up, I started to become a wrestling fan around 1990, 1991. So I wasn't aware of all that historic stuff he had done before. So I knew him as WCW star Paul Orndorff. And then sadly, when they had him come back around the turn of the century and he was atrophied and it was a cautionary tale for a whole lot of wrestlers to get your neck issues taken care of. Almanac says, do you think Mr. Van's computer just made Jericho's list? No, Jericho would probably be happy about that. Getting your super chats, guys, but I'm going to go through Jimmy Van's list right now as well. The list of Jimmy Van. He's got Brock Lesnar listed. I don't know in what context. I'm going to assume his man bun. Was it his hair? Was it his hair that you were looking at? Jimmy. Hey.
Put up Media One, Camilo.
Oh, my God. You sounded like a robot. Put up Media One, Camilo. Yes, look at Brock Lesnar here with that hairdo. I, for one, like it. It's so different. It's so out of left field that I thought that maybe this was like some old picture that resurfaced. No, the man's got a ponytail and I love it. I am a former, like if I had a Wikipedia and it had championships and accomplishments, former ponytail wearer would be underneath my championships and accomplishments. But I love this new look. You always got to switch things. You don't always have to switch things up, but you can. He's had a beard. He's had a goatee in the past. Why not this look? It's completely different. He looks like a character out of Tekken or something. He looks like he is about to just throw hammer fists at that piece of meat and knock it into submission. I love it. It's completely different. We've never seen him like this, so why not? And I hope he comes back soon, too. Hey, Jimmy, what's up? How you doing, Jimmy? What'd you think of Brock? Oh, my God. No, it's terrible again. Anyway.
You're doing a great job, Solo. You're doing a great job, Solo. Keep it going. I'm done for the day. So
we'll see you guys later. Sorry. I'll just remove Camilo. It's just me. It's just me here. Donate your super chat, your questions, and we'll take care of those. Jimmy is just... he's out to lunch today. He sabotaged the entire show. So here we go. We have fans returning, multiple promotions. MLW this past week, of course, AEW a couple weeks ago. They've had fans around to some degree. But fans are returning for this past Friday or this upcoming Friday, this upcoming Monday. Slammiversary, even though it's a bit of a limited venue, they do have fans coming back Saturday. And, of course, Money in the Bank. I'm stoked. I saw some people saying, like, oh, well, you won't want fans back when they chant what? I'll take what chance over what we've had the last year and a half. And no, I do not want what chance. I hate that. I think it's lame. I think it's dorky. Whatever. But I'm just glad to see fans back. You know what? Hey, where's Joel Pearl at? Is Joel Pearl here? Let's bring in Joel Pearl. Let's see if Joel Pearl can step in and fill in for Jimmy Van. I'm going to message him. Catching him off guard. He might be at work. This is an opportunity of a lifetime, Joel Pearl. A 2-for-1? Well, let's go. Let's go. What are we doing here? Let's join. We're about to have the list and your paper champ pretty soon. We got a few other topics on the docket, so to speak. But, hey, I did a show, quite frankly, like this over on Fightful Select. It was a half an hour plus Q&A show. Go check that out, FightfulSelect.com. We have exclusive stories this week on Sonya Deville possibly returning, John Cena, who we're going to be talking about momentarily. We have news on NXT tapings, all kinds of stuff. And I'm going to have a bunch of behind-the-scenes news on Impact Slammiversary this weekend because I'm going to be live on the scene for it. People saying that Joel Pearl's the real world champion. He couldn't even run a media call. Think about the history that Joel Pearl is making right now. He's going to be on the SmackDown show this Friday because I'll be gone. He can be on Listen, Your Boy. It's possible that he's on Listen, Your Boy today if he checks his DMs. Also, he hosted the acclaimed BPW, Booty Pro Wrestling media call over on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. I feel like we got to give Joel a countdown. Like, otherwise he forfeits his opportunity, right? A throwback says, shouldn't Sean be the Fightful champion? Watch the product, pal. So here's what we're going to do. Can Joel Pearl make it in by the count of 10? 10. You didn't even add any drama or suspense to it, Joel Pearl.
I'm not here for that, man. I just woke up. No, I'm just kidding. I had to put on a shirt, Sean.
Yeah. Here, I got to put my seat up. That way you're not taller than me. There we go. Josh B17 says, how likely is it the TBA in the women's match isn't Sonya or Becky? I would say about 10%. I think it's going to be one of them. What do you think, Joel?
I don't think Becky is coming back for this just yet. Sonya Deville, I could see. I don't know. I still have a little bit of a feeling that someone like Tamina could get tossed into this at the last minute.
So on Jimmy Van's list is John Cena. I know that's related to the report I issued that John Cena is set to be back imminently. You all can subscribe to Fightful Select for the full story, but it's supposed to happen soon. At least WWE is planning for it to happen very, very soon. This is the longest John Cena has ever been without an honest-to-God match, Joel Pearl. His last honest-to-God match was over 2.5 years ago. Did you think we'd ever see the day that happened?
I'm happy to potentially see John Cena back. I really am. The last match was what? Was it Saudi or was it before that?
The last actual match was the Fatal 4-Way, Finn Balor beating Corbin, Drew, right, and John Cena on Raw, January 2019. Then we got The Fiend and John Cena in the Firefly Funhouse match. But other than that, that's it?
I think the Saudi match may have been the last singles match for John Cena, but everything else was the Fatal 4-Way, like most recently.
Nope, he did a match with Kane, no DQ. Maybe. I'll see. I'll look. Let me look.
Doesn't matter. I'm excited to see John Cena potentially come back and having a singles match. Come on. He is the last made star.
Yes, it was Saudi. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, it was somewhere. But either way, it's awesome to see him back. Fans love him. It's the perfect opportunity for John Cena to, you know, remind people he's still here. And he's the biggest movie star to have left wrestling not named Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, well, I know that he didn't expect his acting career to take off the way that it did, because he has said in recent interviews, I took a lot of really terrible movie roles to help out WWE, and I never thought that I was going to get more movie roles because those were so bad. So now for him to be a major blockbuster star, and here we are, and he's wrestled 5 matches in the last 3+ years, that's mind-boggling. That's mind-boggling. I didn't think that we would get here so soon. I thought that he would probably wrestle semi-regularly until he was 45 or something like that. But I'm glad and hopeful that he actually will be back. Things changed. They were hopeful they were going to get Becky Lynch in for WrestleMania. As I reported this week, they're hopeful they can get Sonya Deville back very soon. I don't know if any of those things are actually going to happen. I know that they had pitched at one point for Sonya to be involved in Money in the Bank. She might have said, that doesn't work for me, brother, and might not do it at all. So who knows how that's going to actually unfold. But to me, it's a no-brainer, Roman Reigns and John Cena at SummerSlam, because this is their WrestleMania of this year.
Oh, absolutely. That is, if they hadn't already hit something like, what, 98% of sold tickets in Vegas, then this will do it. This will hit 100%. That is the big return that I think a lot of people are looking to see. It might be, honestly, the return that people say, I will bring my kids to this show. Because before, it was, you know, all the fans that we want to see Roman Reigns, SummerSlam is going to be a big attraction, all the stuff we know. Now it's like, you know, please, mom, dad, whatever, bring me to this show. Like, bring me, I want to see John Cena wrestle.
Yeah, I mean, we have seen stuff on Brandon Thurston's Twitter, and I'm going to post it. It's like a, like sort of like a Google search history, and how WWE took a nosedive after 2016.
Yeah.
Like, it was real bad. It was real bad. In a free fall, that he says, and he does this stuff better than anybody, looking at these trends and how it relates. And I know that when a lot of people hear that, they go, well, WWE's making more money than ever before. Buddy, you better believe that Fox is not thrilled about those numbers being where they are. That is not what they signed up for. That is not what they paid for. This is WWE's Google web search volume from January 2015 to July 2021. This is from Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics. I highly suggest his Patreon service. But the contingent thing here, the one thing that he said, well, it could be this, is John Cena not being a full-time performer anymore. Now, he did spots here and there, of course. And you can say, oh, other things have decreased. Not to the level in which WWE has. And for everybody that says, oh, well, they're making more money now than ever before, they deserved money like this long ago. They should have been getting paid stuff like, maybe not this amount, but way more than what they were making in the last 20 years. From the Attitude Era on, WWE was grossly underpaid for the content and the ratings in which they provided, because there was this misconception that wrestling fans didn't spend money. And that's stupid. And WWE suffered as a result of that. They're getting their just due now. But when this happens, when you don't have a John Cena ready, you don't have a Becky Lynch ready, you don't have anything like that, we have seen it translate to asses in seats, Joel. Like, we've seen them move the MSG show to a super show. Did that surprise you?
It didn't. And I think part of it is also because the MSG shows, if I'm not mistaken, they cost more, the ticket prices, don't they? They're expecting not only that, but I mean, not that, you know, the fully vaccinated fans thing is a thing, but it's become a talking point. It's between that and having to pay a little bit extra for your ticket. Maybe the expectation becomes, well, you know what? If I'm going to pay $300 and sit in the nosebleeds, I better see Roman Reigns and I better see Bobby Lashley or whoever the champions are, whoever the big names are. I need to see them for the price I'm paying.
And even beyond that, this is what they were going to do before the pandemic last year. They were eliminating a significant number of house shows, and for all the big money they were throwing around, and I mean big, big, big money, especially compared to what they're paying people now, they also get a lighter schedule as a result of it. Well, that's fantastic, but now it seems like you're going balls to the wall. And they're like, well, people are back. They want to be back. I don't think you necessarily got to go full on with it like that.
It's to me, it's unsustainable. It's absolutely, they're going to go back to this idea that they had before the pandemic of cooling off the live events. They know that it's not a moneymaker anymore. It's not where they get their bread and butter. We're seeing that they're getting their bread and butter through TV. They're getting it through rights fees and through content. They make so much bloody content, like it or not. It's out there because people will consume it and they're getting paid for it. So at the end of the day, the live events, no, they can scale that back. They can tape a ton of stuff. If they really wanted to get crazy, tape a bunch of stuff, put it in the can, put it out as content. Do it in a warehouse somewhere and just put it out there.
Avery Salomon sends a super chat and says, 2 days of Q&A, no complaints. Hey, reminder, guys, donate a super chat if you want your question or statement read on the air. It's that little dollar sign down there at the bottom. Please leave a thumbs up on this video, despite the fact that Joel Pearl is on it. We would greatly appreciate that. And this week on the docket, I got a Natalya interview Thursday, Wesley Blake Friday. If you guys like the Buddy Murphy interview, this is another good one. And then Tuesday, I've got Mojo Rawley. I actually got it before that dirty Chris Van Vliet, Joel. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to hold off until the week that Snake Eyes releases. I'm going to give Mojo Rawley some of that push, that week of push. So
Sean Dust.
Yeah, there you go. The Sean Dust. Dante V says, thoughts on Taz and Excalibur waxing poetic on commentary instead of paying attention to match is really distracting during Harlow and Diamante. I'm okay with having fun, but I do want these people who might have life-changing opportunities at their fingertips to be provided that.
I agree. I'll admit I haven't seen the match yet. When it comes to Dark and Dark Elevation, I usually kind of wait a little bit until I actually sit down and watch it. The thing that I have with Taz on commentary is that he still kind of has that WWE mentality in some ways.
Yeah.
Where if you remember, Michael Cole used to say, we do the things we do. We do commentary the way we do it because we want it to sound like you're on your couch at home with your buddies. And they kind of take that to heart when it comes to Taz on commentary or just some of the commentary in AEW in general.
Yeah, I completely agree. I want to get your thoughts on some of the topics that Jimmy had that I've already talked about. Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, any memories of him? Any thoughts about this? Obviously, tragic what happened. Our thoughts go out to his friends, family, and fans. But this is one that unfortunately we saw unfold in front of us.
Unfortunately, my memories of Paul Orndorff are not as strong as they could be. I got into wrestling in the later years. I try to go back once in a while and watch stuff. I obviously remember WrestleMania and watching Paul Orndorff in the main event of WrestleMania 1. But when it comes down to it, it's the man made a huge mark on pro wrestling. I remember him coming out. They did, what was it? They did like a Hogan celebration on Raw. It was 2014. I think it was one of his final appearances. And I just remember watching and just being like, he doesn't look great, but he also ignored Hogan. So that was fine too.
Oh, it was amazing. That was amazing. I loved it. It was so petty at the time. And I was like, why would he do that? Now, as it got older, it aged so well. It aged fantastically.
You might say it was wonderful.
Yes. Brock Lesnar's hair. How you feeling?
Oh, God, yes.
It's great, isn't it?
I think I saw our friend Issa in the chat saying, ponytail Brock can get it. Yes, he can.
Jesus.
I Christ. Want, he's an undercut away, though, from looking like every member of the WWE roster.
Everybody on UK roster. Yes. I saw a thread a while back. This is everybody in WWE has the same haircut. A thread. Oh, it was so good.
The best.
Oh, Diva Hell Diva. Yeah. It's just, jeez, unfortunate that is. Oh man, but you know what? They better add this look in the 2K game. I want this look as an attire in the UK game or in the 2K game, the UK game. I want it in the US version too. Damn it!
It's a Euro exclusive. Just having that haircut.
Money in the Bank. What are you excited for?
I'm excited for so much of it. Honestly, this is the first time where I'm looking at Money in the Bank and I'm looking at the card and saying, okay, a lot of different options can happen. And I like this time of year for that. We get into the months where Money in the Bank, you want to make a new superstar. You want to make a new, you want to do something with it. Yeah. I've been saying this for a while though, Sean. that they've been planning on Bro in the Bank forever. Really? That it's been a that it's in their marketing. It's perfect. It's that Vince McMahon moment where he says, "Oh, Bro in the Bank. It sounds perfect." And they go for it. That's my
feeling. Then in a month, they have nothing. They have nothing.
Oh, 100%. They have nothing. Or because if they have Randy Orton involved with the whole RK-Bro gimmick, then they try to kind of have Money in the Bank play into their breakup or some sort of teasing of tension between the two.
Yeah.
But of course, we need to see Randy Orton return to TV first before anything happens.
We have a super chat. Keep getting those in, guys. Super sick Bud Ryan says, "Thank you, Champ, for gracing us with your presence. I know you're tired trying to contain that circus yesterday. Does anybody know when Daniel Bryan's going to wrestle?" We don't. My hunch is soon.
He's going to be Deonna Purrazzo's opponent at Slam. Yes.
Yes.
You heard it.
I pitched Buddy Murphy, and she loved that idea publicly. And then Gail Kim threatened me because because Gail Kim is threatened by me, I think. Gail Kim knows that if I wanted a match with her, she would have no choice but to come out of retirement, and it'd be so one-sided. I think that's why Gail Kim is so mean to me on Twitter. I think that's absolutely why.
Who do you think is a better cook between the two of you, between you and Gail?
So that's a question I want to ask her. Is Gail is married to one of the most famous chefs in the world, but like, can, as a result, does she ever cook?
Right.
Or does she, like, is her husband just so like good at it? Like, he's like, "I'll do the cooking." Or are they so famous and well off at this point that neither one of them cooks, because he's like, "Man, that's work. I don't want to do work all the time." It's such an interesting spot there. Man, see people talking about Gail. And the thing is, I did her finish as in my first match ever. That was my finish in my first match ever. The Eat Defeat. Just saying. Probably better than hers too. Probably better than hers too. I did it on a boxing ring in a demo match.
Oh,
it hurt so bad. But Slammiversary this weekend, I'm going to be there. I'm so excited. I leave tomorrow. I'm stoked for this card. I am particularly stoked for the X Division match, because I'm more excited for that than any X Division match over the last maybe 10 years. And you have been doing these watch-alongs on twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. So, I mean, you're a busy fellow this week. But
tell me about it.
What are you most excited for on that show? Because it's a really good looking card, and it's a card that we haven't seen most of this stuff before.
This is the card where every single week Steven Jensen and I on that watch along say they got to do something to bring us in. They haven't announced any big big signings. They haven't announced any big returns, but Slammiversary last year, it was the same thing. They carded out people during the show. The rest of the card was okay, but this year's card is actually shaping up to look really good. I am looking forward to seeing Deonna face whomever, TBD. There are so many people out there, so many ideas out there, and I'm sure people have already talked about it.
Let me tell you guys. First off, I'll tell you guys, I know who TBD is. I can't tell you guys who TBD is.
What if I slip you a little something on the side? What if I give you?
I can tell you who TBD is because you work here, but it was off the record, but I was told on the record, one, not Ruby Riott, and two, not in the company right now. Not in the company right now. And assuming all goes according to plan, this is a top level match for me personally. Yes, the performer is very good. I'll say that much. That's what I can say. Again, that's what I've been allowed to say on the record compared to what I've been told off the record, and I will not violate that. But there's like a contract. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Go ahead. Do that, and then I'll talk about the main event after that.
Yeah, there's this contrast of styles between Moose and Chris Sabin, but we've seen Moose work Chris Sabin's style. Like, he does this crazy stuff. Eddie Edwards and Morrissey, I'm interested in, because like I before they added No DQ to Omega Callahan, I was hoping they would add it to this, because I thought that could be something. W. Morrissey, who, you know, has a pair of shoes from GOI Kicks. And Moose, who I just mentioned, who has a pair of shoes from GOI Kicks.
let's get something out of the way. W. Morrissey, we call him on the watch along, we call him Tej. He is the love child of Test and Edge. So we refer to him as Tej. And yes, he is actually our new tribal chief, because last week on the show, he not only stacked and smashed not one, not two, but three men, all former Dark wrestlers, by the way. So there you go.
Yeah.
Look, see, everyone's there. Everyone's talking about it. I see Lufisto there. That's an interesting one. I like that. Big Lufisto fan over here.
I'm very excited for that X Division match, especially to see what shoes Trey Miguel wears, because he has a pair from GOI Kicks. But I'm very excited for this show. There are a lot of first-time matchups on this show, and that's what I like, because Brandon Thurston also posted that list of, which, I mean, some of them were off a bit, but of percentage of rematches that were going to be on, that had been on some of these shows. And that's, to me, the attraction of a pay-per-view thing is first time match or match that is so undeniably intriguing that you have to do it again. That's so what it is for me.
With Sammy and Kenny, I get a lot of people aren't necessarily feeling it. And then last night they announced that it's going to be no DQ. And to me, that changed everything. Because first of all, we know that Sammy Callahan working a straight up one-on-one match, not as enticing. It's not as entertaining. Mm-hmm. But man, you start giving them toys to play with and the match turns on its head and becomes so much better. So for anyone who is doubting that match being a lot of fun, this is going to change your mind. I really, really do think that now. And that's coming as someone who's not always the biggest Sammy Callahan fan, like period, end of sentence. But I'm now looking forward to this match, knowing that it's going to be no disqualification.
Guys, you can head over to FightfulSelect.com. We are still going to do The List Goes On. I'm going to talk a little bit about NXT, Michael Elgin. Oh, boy. We got a question. Somebody saying, is knowing the backstage things a hinder to your ability to enjoy wrestling? No, because I love what I do. I love finding out stuff. I'm really good at it, so I just love it. And there's some more speculation there. Oh, Solomon Crow, you cowards. Joel, tell the people where they can find you.
I am not a hard man to find. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L, all over socials. That includes Instagram, Twitter. I'm on twitch.tv/Joel Pearl. Once in a while, I do go live. This week has been a wash because, like Sean said, I've been hosting podcasts and showing up on shows randomly for the entire week. And I'll be in Vegas for SummerSlam. So there you go. Come and hang out with your boy.
Indeed. Until next time, guys.
We're out. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.